Hello, and welcome to Student Voice Weekly. I'm Dr. Stuart Gray, founder of Student Voice, and today's theme is misconduct and feedback. What students say caused the problem, and what universities keep trying to fix. Today, I'd like to talk about a pattern I see every March. When assessment season hits, we start treating academic misconduct, feedback complaints, and regulation dashboards as separate items. Different committees, different owners, different spreadsheets. But for students, it is often the same week. It is the same bunching of deadlines, the same unclear brief, the same uncertainty about what counts as collaboration, the same feedback arriving after the next assignment is already due. And then the institution is surprised when a student makes a bad decision or ends up in a process that feels punitive rather than supportive. So the main story this week is a big misconduct reflection study. And I want to use it to make a practical point. If you want to reduce cases, you have to look upstream. Main story, 3L70 misconduct reflections and what they are really telling us. There's a study that analysed 3,070 student reflections written after misconduct cases. And the headline is not that students never cheat. The headline is that the most common explanations students gave were confusion and workload pressure alongside low confidence. Not I wanted to game the system. Now, the obvious pushback is students will say that because they are trying to justify themselves. Fair. Reflections are not a perfect account of what happened, but the key thing is the pattern at scale. If thousands of students independently point to confusion and workload, that is telling you where your assessment and support system is failing. And it is telling you what students are actually experiencing in the run-up to a case. Also, confusion is not a single problem. In practice, it usually means one of these. I do not understand what the task is asking. I do not understand what good looks like. I do not understand the rules around AI and tools. I do not understand what counts as collaboration in this module. Those need different fixes. One generic integrity workshop will not touch them. And workload is not a single problem either. Most often it is timing. Deadlines bunching across modules, plus students trying to do the rest of their lives at the same time. So if your misconduct cases are rising, make sure you do not start with detection and penalty as your first move. Start by mapping the confusion points and mapping the pinch points in the assessment calendar. A second practical point, misconduct processes are expensive and stressful. They also create a fairness risk. Students with the least confidence and the least familiarity with academic norms are more likely to stumble into problems and less likely to navigate an investigation well. So prevention is not just efficient, it is also an equity issue. Direct research worth using. Faster feedback targets do not predict better NSS outcomes. The other research item this week is on feedback turnaround policies and NSS scores. Someone tested whether universities with stricter turnaround targets like 15 working days get better NSS outcomes on assessment and feedback. The relationship is weak and not statistically significant. This matters because universities love targets. Targets are measurable, auditable, and easy to report. But students are not mainly complaining about the stopwatch. They are complaining about whether feedback helps them. What students are actually saying again and again looks like this. I do not know how to improve. Different tutors tell us different things. Feedback arrived after the next deadline. So yes, speed matters, but only if the feedback is usable and arrives in time to change what the student does next. If you tighten turnaround targets without improving clarity, consistency, and timing relative to assessment sequencing, you are optimizing the wrong variable. Here's a simple internal question to ask. When students complain about feedback, how much of it is about speed and how much is about usefulness and timing? Many institutions cannot answer that cleanly because everything is bundled into one heading. Sector Watch, TEF Dashboard, and Subcontracting Condition E10-2 Sector Signals to keep an eye on. First, the OFS has updated the TEF Data Dashboard. That gives a current provider level view of NSS student experience measures alongside continuation, completion, and progression outcomes for English providers. The key thing here is not the dashboard itself. It is how quickly it becomes a story in committee. Benchmark decimals start standing in for lived experience. So make sure your teams have refreshed their extracts and make sure you can explain movements that are just dashboard updates, not real changes in what students are saying or doing. Second, condition E10 on subcontracting comes into force at the end of March. expects lead providers to have a single information source for each subcontracting arrangement, including complaints data, partner performance information, escalation routes, and how student feedback feeds into contract management. Do not treat this as a documentation exercise. The regulator is pushing on whether you can see student experience at partner level in a comparable way, and whether you can spot problems early enough to act. What this means for student comments. If I were looking at student comments this month, I would try to separate three themes that often get muddled. First, assessment clarity. These are the "I did not understand what was expected" comments. Second, workload and bunching. These are the "everything is due at once" comments. You often miss these if you only analyze module by module. You need a program view. Third, confidence and capability. These are the "I do not feel prepared to do this independently" comments. They usually point to missing practice, missing exemplars, or unclear support routes. And here is the link back to misconduct. Those three themes are exactly what shows up in the misconduct reflection study. So if you want prevention, do not wait for a case. Use the comments you already have and look for signals like unclear rules around tools and AI, contradictory guidance across teaching staff, deadline clustering in the same teaching week, feedback arriving too late to apply. Then act before the student hits the high stakes moment. Also, make sure your analysis does not collapse all of this into assessment. The action is different. Clarity needs better briefing and examples. Workload needs coordination. Confidence needs scaffolding and early checkpoints. One thing to try this week. Here is one thing to try this week that does not need a new policy. Take your last 30 to 50 student comments that mention misconduct, referencing, AI, plagiarism, or academic integrity. Then take your last 30 to 50 comments that mention feedback being late, unhelpful, or inconsistent. Put them in front of a small group for 30 minutes, a program lead, someone who teaches on the modules, someone from student support, and someone from your insight or quality team. Do a simple sort into three piles. One, confusion. Students do not understand what to do or what is allowed. Two, workload and timing. Students cannot realistically do it when it is due. Three, confidence and capability. Students do not feel able to do it independently. Then ask one question for each pile. What is the earliest point in the semester we could have intervened? That shifts the conversation from penalties and compliance to prevention and design. It also gives academic and professional services a shared language for what is going wrong. Closing. That is it for this week. The full set of links and summaries is in Student Voice Weekly. If you work with student feedback and want the research, regulation, and sector signals in one place each week, you can subscribe at studentvoice.ai. Thanks for listening, and I will speak to you next week